I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up with Election Day now behind us, finally, we ask two faith leaders to reflect on the votes in favor of same-sex marriage in several states. That's our Faith Matters conversation, and it's in just a few minutes. But now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer and culture critic Jimmy Israel. R. Clark Cooper is executive director of Log Cabin Republicans. That's a group that advocates for LGBT issues within the Republican Party. He's also an Army Reserve captain. NPR's political editor is back with us, the political junkie himself, Ken Rudin. They're all here in Washington, D.C.
Ken Dog.
That's right. And in Irvine, California, Gustavo Arellano. He is an author and the writer of the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. Take it, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, how we doing? Welcome to the shop.
Hello, Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy?
You know what? Before we go much further, I got to shout out Tara Santos. She's fan number 1400 on my Facebook page. So that happened, right? So
How did we all miss that?
I know, right?
How did we all miss that?
Well, pick it up.
Right. Let's move on. CNN, there's your tip. So, you know, I could beatbox some election music, but I'm going to spare all of you that. Ken, you know, you might want to yodel something for us. No, don't do that. Obama.
My new 8-track comes out next week.
Okay. We're all looking forward. Obama is in for another four years in mid. Well, I don't know what Mitt's going to do now. You know, we'll get more of that in a second. But now let's talk about some of the ballot issues that won big. And for all those who thought marijuana smokers couldn't find their way off the couch to vote, pot fans lit up the polls. Michelle, we got a clip, yeah?
You know, I'm afraid that this is really going to be just a gateway to pun using. Let's see if we can...
As it should be.
Washington State and Colorado passed measures to legalize the recreational use of the drug. A lot of people who may have been following this issue... note that a number of states have allowed for the medicinal use of the drug, but this is different. And these are Colorado voters Dante Nicholas and Emery Love, who spoke to NPR on Tuesday.
Well, I voted to keep smoking my weed.
I did vote yes on that, mostly because I know how much of it is going to schools, and I think that if we tax it, it can help the economy.
You know, I like Dante's gift for subtlety. Thank you for that, Michelle. Listen, Gustavo Arellano, California was the first state to legalize medicinal, brother, marijuana. What do you think of Colorado and Washington's decision to legalize recreational use of pot all of a sudden?
It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, we did it back in the mid-90s, and we've been fighting the federal government ever since. So while I congratulate Washington and Colorado on going above and beyond what we did, any of those activists, they're going to be in for a long fight because the federal government still wants to fight their war on drugs. I don't use marijuana. I've never been interested. Don't give a damn about it. But what I do know about marijuana is that when it comes to the criminal aspect of it, the people who are disproportionately affected are people of color. The folks who are going into prisons because of marijuana use are African Americans, are Latinos, are poor folk. And so anything that could, whether on the state level, anything that can be done to eliminate this war on drugs, I'm all for it. And yeah, hey, if you want to, you know, if you're going to celebrate by smoking a big blunt, then God bless you. Go for it.
Ken Rudin.
You're missing the important part. The most important, I just found that in Colorado, they've run out of Cheetos and Fig Newtons. And I think that's a big fear that a lot of people have.
Taco Bell, too.
Exactly.
Well, but what about that, Ken? There doesn't seem to be what the federal position on this still is.
Well, the federal government still regards marijuana like cocaine and heroin, so they still have it illegal drugs. We still don't know what employers are going to look at if they have drug testing for jobs. If you come up with a positive test for pot, then what does that do if it's legal in some states and not in others?
Did you lose your security clearance if you're in the military or you're in law enforcement or federal government? I can tell you right now, nothing's changed. You talk about the federal government. You pop positive, you're out. You're chaptered out of the military. You're going to be gone from a law enforcement or a position of trust in many private sector companies. So, you know, hey, light it up if you want to in Colorado or Washington, but if you're in any position of trust in the federal government or in law enforcement, you're out.
Clark would know, obviously you're an Army Reserve captain. Does that apply to people in the reserves as well?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if you're National Guard, Reserve, or active duty. There is no exception there.
But Ken, what do you think, though, about what this suggests about? I mean, you know, obviously this lends itself to kind of a lot of funny, you know, sort of jokes and stuff like that about the parts of the country where this is kind of moving. But in the District of Columbia, medicinal marijuana use has been legalized. What you face, though, is a lot of neighborhood opposition. People say, okay, that's fine, that's the law, but I don't want this in my neighborhood. What do you think that this says politically, or do you think this is mainly a regional movement?
Well, no, I think it's far more than regional. I think the fact that just like with same-sex marriage, years ago, same-sex marriage was the brunt of funny jokes, one-liners. That, of course, it was the things that would never happen here. It would happen in San Francisco, but nowhere else. And suddenly, after 32 defeats in a row, now same-sex marriage is being approved on the ballot. So there seems to be some kind of a either demographic or spiritual change in this country. Not overwhelming. Look, it took Obama years to evolve into the same-sex marriage evolution, but maybe the country is turning around on that as well.
Wow. Yeah, I got no opinion because I don't smoke weed. But for people that do, I guess it's all right as long as we tax it, as long as the schools can benefit. But I don't know what the world, what the country is going to look like.
I've been doing a lot of Pez, and that to me seems that's all I need. Really,
I just don't know what the world's going to look like if you have to wonder like the people that you're talking to that you're doing business with if they're high on dope. You know,
but
why is that
any different from wondering?
Why is that any different than today? Right,
a drunk person's more dangerous than a high person. I know this because I know a lot of drunks. I know a lot of stoners. And you put stoners and drunks in a room, I'm going to go with the stoners.
I don't want to deal with either one. Is that so wrong?
Influence is influence. Okay. So at the end of the day, regardless if someone's drunk or high, they're still going to get an infraction in prison time. So, you know, even if it's legalized, just like alcohol is, you can still overindulge and take advantage or of that liberty. And so there's one thing for someone to have a drink. Obviously, we have statutes there to enforce that, and that will probably be the case if marijuana becomes more legal in other jurisdictions.
But what about the other issue? You know, Jimmy wants to know, as you, of course, you're the leader of a group of same gender living Republicans or people who advocate. Everybody part of that group is not a gay or lesbian, but also people who support the civil rights issues and for gays and lesbians within the Republican Party. So your candidate lost the White House, but part of your agenda won. Jimmy wants to know, were you laughing or crying on election night?
It was an odd space to be in. I'll give you a picture of what was happening in Boston late Tuesday. Actually, the wee hours of Wednesday morning was there were a lot of tears, not only for the loss at the top of the ticket, but we had some really fantastic supporters and allies. Scott Brown of Massachusetts, one of the big defenders and advocates for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We lost him. But we won four ballot measures in four states. That is a huge new precedent for marriage equality, for the freedom to marry. Why? Because it is the highest threshold. It's higher than a court ruling. It's higher than a legislative vote. And for conservatives, it is a means test. So when we do after action reviews or AARs with party leadership, you bet we certainly will be taking this into account. We have the data to prove it. There is polling data. Log Cabin is shared with the RNC. We even shared with the Romney Ryan campaign during the cycle that reflects the growing number of Americans and Republicans in favor of equality measures, be it employment non-discrimination protection or marriage equality.
So down the road, you're going to push the RNC a little harder.
Down
right?
the road, we're doing it now.
So you're not going to give them a pass like you were giving Mitt, right?
No, look, we worked with Mitt on employment non-discrimination measures, and I could tell you with confidence, had he been elected president, you would have had a president who would have protected open service in the military, who also would have been aggressive on employment non-discrimination measures. Our divide was on marriage, and he made a huge mistake in the primary by running right. In fact, some believe in the party that Mitt may have lost the election during the primary cycle where he ran right and signed that non-pledge and the National Organization of Marriage pledge.
Oh, there's no question I think Romney lost the election in the primary. First of all, the Republican primary is a white electorate. I mean, so you could talk about self-deportation about Latinos. You could talk about vetoing the Dream Act. You could talk about criticizing Rick Perry for having in-state tuition for undocumented children because who's going to challenge you? But then you can't just go to the Republican convention in Tampa and put a bunch of Latinos like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz on the podium and say, well, this makes up for the rhetoric that we saw during the primaries. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party, and it's not just Mitt Romney or the RNC, it's the members of Congress who still, for the most part, except with maybe a handful of changes, they've all been reelected and they all have the same positions on the issues as they had before.
Gustavo, that's your cue, man. We got to ask a Mexican. Latino voters were the big story this week, with 7 out of 10 going for Obama. Do you think he deserved all that love, brother?
I don't think he deserved all of it, but it's the same argument I've been making to my Republican friends for years, that Latino voters, especially those of the immigrant generation, say my parents, they're natural Republicans. They're fiscal conservatives. A lot of them are religious. You know, a lot of them aren't in favor of gay marriage. But you eliminate all of those voters immediately once you start talking about things like self-deportation, which was a meme started by my good friend Lalo Alcaraz, this great satirist, back in the 1990s. It wasn't supposed to be serious. It was supposed to be a joke. So when Mitt was starting to say self-deportation, that's when I said, bye-bye, Mitt. You've lost all Latino voters. What did they go out for? Over 70% for Obama? That's incredible. If the Republican Party, I mean, you want to see the future of the Republican Party, at least the apocalyptic feature, look at California. California is now a Democratic state, a supermajority Democratic state. And that's because in the 1990s, the Republican Party decided to go full bore on an anti-immigrant platform. Latinos like myself, the children of these former illegal immigrants, we remember. And so even if we might not like the Democrats that much, we're going to go for the Democrats. Obama, he's deported more undocumented folks than any previous administration. He really hasn't done much in terms of the DREAM Act, but at the end of this election, he was far more better, a million times more better than Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney, you know, everyone's surprised, oh, Latinos are voting Democrat? No, if you actually know our community, you'll know that it was a natural.
Well, tell us how you really feel, brother.
You know, right?
This has been going on now for 15 years, and Republicans keep getting surprised. Oh, why can't Latinos vote for us? You know, we're such a natural fit for them. But as long as you engage in this anti-immigrant rhetoric, nothing's going to change. So the Republicans, they need a change.
Ken Reuter.
And you don't even have to look about California. California's been that way for at least during the Pete Wilson days. Look what happened Tuesday in Arizona, heretofore a pretty Republican state. Jeff Flake, the Republican, beat Rich Carmona, the Latino Democratic candidate, by a bare amount, by 2 or 3 percentage points. Look at the Senate race in Nevada, where the Democratic candidate had serious ethical problems. That was a very, very close race because of the Latino turnout. Texas, while doesn't seem to be Democratic and anytime soon, those demographics are changing. And as Jeb Bush and a few other Republicans have said, you forget about these changes at your own peril.
Well, and speaking of my home state of Florida and Governor Bush, Ileana Ross-Layton and Mario Diaz-Balart, they won re-election. But these are solid, well-beloved incumbents in South Florida. But they are a growing minority in the sense that the Cuban-American vote is now not always a guarantee for Republicans.
According to one exit poll, Cuban-Americans, which had been a solidly Republican vote, went 49-47% for Obama, which is new news.
Amazing.
And these are Cubans my age. These are Gen X and younger. These are Cuban Americans who don't remember Batista, who don't remember the Castro regime coming in, who don't have these horrible memories of the revolution taking place in Havana. These are people who weren't exiles. They're second generation, maybe third generation born in the U.S.
And, of course, nobody wants to talk about the African-American vote because people figured that vote was going to be solidly for Obama. But you cannot help but notice, like, these so-called, you know, voter integrity measures, like these voter ID laws. People look at that, and, you know, we've talked about this time and time again, and people say, oh, well, what's the big deal? But that's like being in a relationship, you know, where you're a vegan and your boyfriend keeps taking you to the burger shop. If you've told him that this is offensive to you and you don't want to listen, well, don't be shocked.
And don't keep calling them illegals. I mean, illegals. That's what Romney kept saying over and over again, the illegals. That's somehow you don't win votes by calling Latinos illegals.
Well, it just seems to be like an unwillingness to understand the cultural issues. There's policy, and then there's also
attitude
in a sense that you're going out of your way to be offensive. You're going out of your way to alienate people, like these jokes about, you know, Obama's heritage. I mean, do they really think, you know, I don't know that you have to be, I don't know how many Kenyan-American, you know, presidential candidates we're going to have in the future, or people with Kenyan heritage, but you don't have to be from Africa to say, wait. What do I have to do to prove my ticket? What do I have to do to prove that I belong here? I don't think you have to be even an immigrant to feel that this is going out of your way to be offensive to people. So if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with writer Jimmy Israel, syndicated columnist Gustavo Arellano, NPR's political junkie Ken Reuter, and R. Clark Cooper, executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans. Jimmy?
Thanks, Michelle. You know what? Before we get off politics, I got to get everybody's pick for 2016. Now, hold on. Me personally, this may surprise some of you. But, you know,
Ken just got a headache.
Right? But I like Clinton Booker ticket, you know, for a Democrat.
Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
And the mayor of New York. She says she's done.
She says she's done.
You don't believe?
Okay. No, I don't. I don't.
And, okay. And of course, Cory Booker has to beat Chris Christie next year in the governor's race in New Jersey.
True.
And that's going to be tough. And now that Chris Christie has hugged Barack Obama, so that may have helped.
Right. Interesting. Clark, what do you think?
Speaking of Chris Christie, so I'm looking at either a Bush Christie, Christie Bush.
Bush?
Jeb. Jeb Bush, Governor Bush of Florida, and then Governor Christie. You have two individuals who have executive management skills. They are very well respected in Trenton and in Tallahassee for being able to cross the aisle and work with Democrats. So they know how to manage.
Did you know Marco Rubio is going to Iowa this month to do a Governor Branstad birthday party? So 2016 is not that far away.
Gustavo, what do you
Yeah, I agree with Jamie. I think it is going to be Clinton Booker just because they do have that prestige. And come on, once a Clinton, you're always going to be a political animal. But I do think there's going to be at least one Latino somewhere. Whether it's Rubio, I think that's a pick. But it might be Julian Castro from San Antonio. You know, Mayor of San Antonio gave the keynote speech at the DNC. Rising star in the Latino Party. All he has to do now is learn how to speak Spanish, and he got it in the bag.
Well, what about that? I mean,
Jeb knows
how
to speak Spanish.
I totally feel for him, but even right now, he's learning how to speak Spanish because, unfortunately, for a lot of Latinos, if they see a Latino candidate out there and you can't speak in Spanish, even if you're not supposed to speak in Spanish, they're going to be,
You think you're too good?
Which is so damn unfortunate.
It's interesting because we heard a number of kind of white grassroots conservatives criticize Obama for speaking Ebonics, which, you know, I don't know what that is. I mean, I personally think I'm fairly fluent in Ebonics, and I feel like I've never heard him really speak Ebonics, but that will become an issue too. Does he get criticized for that? Well, we'll see. We'll see. More to talk about. Always more to talk about. Jimmy Israel's a writer and culture critic. He's also an adjunct professor of film and social media. Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, the network's political junkie. R. Clark Cooper is a captain in the Army Reserve. He's the executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans. They were here in Washington, D.C. With us from Irvine, California, Gustavo Arellano, syndicated columnist who writes the column Ask a Mexican. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Gracias.
Cool. Yep, yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our new Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org.